Chapter 16. Home Again. It was a fine summer's day when I took the coach out of London. I went first to Satis House, where there were signs outside. All of the furniture was for sale. I did not stay long and walked on to the village. The first building I passed was the school where Biddy was the teacher. I wanted to see her at work with the children, but the school was closed for a holiday and there was nobody in Biddy's house. I went on towards the forge. Usually, at this time of day, the sound of Joe's hammer could be heard as he worked at the forge, but I heard only the wind in the trees. As I got nearer, I saw that the forge was closed. But the house was not empty. The windows were open, the curtains were blowing in the wind, and there were flowers everywhere. I went towards the window, but suddenly Joe and Biddy were in front of me, arm in arm. They were wearing their best clothes and looking very happy. "Biddy, how nice you look," I said, looking at them both. "And you too, Joe." "It's my wedding day," said Biddy. "Joe and I are married." I could not speak for a moment. They hugged me and took me into the kitchen where I sat down at the old table. They were so happy that I was there for their special day. I was pleased that I had not talked to Joe about my plan to ask Biddy to marry me. "Biddy," I said, "you have got the best husband in the world. If you'd seen him by my bed, you'd know what a fine man he is."
"I know already," she said.
"And Joe, you have got the best wife in the world, and she'll make you very, very happy." Joe nodded, and I could see that he was crying with happiness. I knew immediately what I must do. "Joe and Biddy, I'm going to Egypt to work with Herbert. I'll work hard and pay back the money that I owe you. And I hope you'll have children. Perhaps there'll be a little boy sitting by the fire on a winter night to remind you of another little boy who sat there once. I know that you've forgiven me. Don't tell the boy that I was ungrateful, but I want him to grow up to be a better man than me." "Of course we forgive you," said Joe. "Now let me go and see my old room, and then I'll eat and drink with you. After that, you must walk with me to the edge of the village to say goodbye." I left England later that month and travelled out to Egypt to join Herbert and Clara. Herbert and I worked hard, and I wrote often to Joe and Biddy and sent money. After a few years, Clarica's business was going very well, and although not rich, we were living very comfortably. I had not seen Joe and Biddy for 11 years when, one evening in December, I quietly opened the old kitchen door. There, smoking his pipe, sat Joe, as strong and healthy as before, but a little grey. And on my chair, in the corner by the fire, sat... "We called him Pip," said Joe. "We wanted him to grow up like you, and I think he has." I thought so too, and the next morning, little Pip and I went for a walk on the marshes and talked a lot. In the evening, Biddy and I sat by the fire, a baby girl asleep on her knee. "Can I borrow little Pip sometimes?" I asked.
"No," said Biddy. "You must marry and have your own son."
"Herbert and Clara say that too, but I don't think it will happen."
"Do you still think of her?" asked Biddy. "Or have you forgotten her?"
"I've forgotten nothing, but the dream has gone." I did not tell Biddy the truth. I did still think about Estella, and I wanted to go to Satis House to think about her again. I knew that her marriage to Drummle had been an unhappy one. I had heard of his death 2 years before, but I did not know whether she had married again. It was still light that evening when I walked over to Satis House. The house was falling down, and the plants in the garden had grown wildly. The moon was rising, the first stars were shining, and in the soft light I saw a woman walking there. She started to turn away when she saw me, but then stopped and spoke.
"Pip? Estella?
I've changed a lot over the years. I'm surprised that you recognise me," she said quietly. She was not a young woman anymore, but she was still beautiful. I took her hand in mine.
"It's strange," I said,
"after so many years to meet you here where we first met. Do you often come back?"
"I haven't been here since the fire."
I felt her hand on mine and remembered her father's hand on mine as he lay dying.
"I'm selling it," she said. "I wanted to see it one last time. Do you still live abroad?"
"Yes."
"And you're doing well?"
"I work hard, but I earn enough. Yes, I'm doing well."
"I've often thought of you," said Estella.
"Have you?"
"Very often since the end of my marriage," she said. "I didn't expect to see you here, but I'm very glad that you came."
"You've always had a place in my heart," I said.
"I've suffered since we last met, and now I understand the suffering of others," said Estella. "Tell me, are we still friends?"
"We are friends," I said.
"And we will continue to be friends?" she asked.
I took her hand in mine, and we walked together out of the garden.
Penguin Readers. Great Expectations. Charles Dickens. Level 6. Adapted by Nick Bullard. Illustrated by Jimothy Oliver. Series Editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.